So, Father, this is a bit of a strange message that I believe you're getting me to share. And, Lord, I just ask that you would take control, as Jerry said, Lord, and convert this into something worth listening to, something that is full of your power, full of your love, Lord, and teaching, such that the ears and hearts that receive it, Lord, can hear your voice. So, Lord, bless it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first Sunday in Advent, 3rd of December 2023, sermon entitled, a strange title, The Law of Unintended Consequences. Anybody heard that term before? The Law of Unintended Consequences. Nope. It's a thing. Google it. It's a thing. A couple of scriptures to start with then from Genesis. Genesis 2, 16 to 18 is the first one. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat any tree from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And the second reading is Genesis 3, 4 to 5. This is the serpent, the devil, speaking. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Right, way back in time when it all started to go wrong. Unintended consequences. The law of unintended consequences. What is that? Well, unintended consequences can be grouped into three types. One, the first one is an unexpected benefit, as in a positive unexpected benefit, which you might refer to as perhaps as luck or serendipity or some kind of a windfall, something that you didn't expect to happen but was actually nice. It was a benefit to you. But another unintended consequence could be an unexpected drawback, an unexpected detriment occurring in addition to the desired effect of a policy or something. For example, while irrigation schemes provide people with water for agriculture in barren lands, in dry lands, they can also increase waterborne diseases at the same time and have a devastating health effect. And there is something that thrives in those circumstances that is something called bilharzia or snail fever. And it's a disease caused by parasitic worms. And although the worms that cause that disease are not found in places like the United States, people are infected worldwide from this thing. And in terms of impact, it is second only, and people don't realize this, second only to malaria. That's how significant it is. So the drawback of providing irrigation schemes and providing water to arid places, you get this unexpected drawback of a rampant disease. That is an unintended consequence, where you were hoping for one thing, but you also got something else. And you can also get a third type of unintended consequence, and that is a perverse result, a perverse effect. Contrary, totally contrary to what was originally intended. When your intended solution to a problem actually makes the problem worse. Let me give you some little examples of how these things have happened in my life, just off the cuff, really. Unexpected benefit in my life. It's extremely rare for me, because I'm not Irish, to win anything. I don't have the luck of the Irish. So I tend, as a Yorkshireman, never to win anything. And as a rule, I don't gamble. However, I do have some premium bonds. My mum bought me 10 when I was very young. And as an adult, I invested in many more. And now, the original 10 never returned anything over about 50 years. Because there are millions of these premium bonds, right? So 10 in the middle of millions of numbers. I can even remember the first digits. My first ever 10 started off with 6KP530 blah, 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 blah. And now the numbers are like this long, about 15 digits. So my 6KP blah, blah just disappear into the ether. However, having bought a few more, I've recently won several prizes of £25. Anola came to me recently with a smile on her face, saying, "Guess what's happened? Guess what? Something nice has happened." I said, "Oh yeah, I bet you've won something on the premium bonds." She said, "No, you have. You've won £100 on the premium bonds." So to some extent, I've given up on winning anything. I mean, £100 is not a lot in these days, but however, if I'd never bought any premium bonds, then winning anything would have been an impossibility, wouldn't it? So an unexpected benefit, for me anyway. Some people would say, well, the odds were on that you would win something eventually. But for me, it was an unexpected benefit. What about an unexpected drawback then? Right, okay. Several years ago, I thought it was a good idea to have solar thermal panels put on our roof. We had enough money to do that at the time, but it was a toss-up between doing that or doing something else. But the thought in my mind of getting free hot water from the sun kind of sold it to me. But we were in two minds, and we didn't quite have the right kind of faith to believe that it was definitely the right thing to do. And the guy who was selling this project said, "You've got to decide today, otherwise you won't get this discount." And now, 65 years I am now, would realize that you don't buy anything from anybody who's pressurizing you to make a decision on the same day. Okay, but we did. So, many years later, we realized that it was actually a bad investment, as the amount of hot water we made could never offset the cost of the installation. It's just not possible. And what's more, now we would really like to have solar PV panels to generate electricity and not hot water, but much of our south-facing roof is unavailable now because they've got these two water-generating panels on them. So the unexpected drawback was you did something that you thought was going to do something, but actually the long-term result was negative. So the moral of that story is, if you're in doubt, if you're not sure, if you don't have the faith to carry out a project, don't do it. Don't do it. Sleep on it. Ask somebody. Talk about it. Get counsel. Read up on it. Because God might be trying to tell you something that he knows about you and your life in the future. And you don't know what it is. Right, so what about a perverse result then? These unexpected things. I'm still thinking about this one. Perverse results. As they say, because it's not over till it's over, is it? You don't really know if it is a totally perverse result until everything is over, finished. But I sometimes wonder, for example, if sending your children to university nowadays to get a really good education and a head start in life is still what it's cracked up to be. It used to be free. Now it costs an arm and a leg. And the people coming out with a degree have a massive debt that they have to pay back to society, or more accurately, to the government. It seems to me that modern education institutions do more harm than good in some cases. Certainly, they will test the faith of your children. And they will put non-biblical ideas into young, impressionable heads. They will challenge a godly way of thinking. and they will potentially mess with your child's mind in the absence of any parental influence, because they're 18 and they're adults with license, with agency. So, the law of unintended consequences could easily end up with something happening in our lives that we hadn't planned for. Things that we've done in the past, we didn't really think would turn out like this. But years and years later, we find ourselves reaping what we sowed. Whether that's bad, good, or indifferent. But often, if it is bad, we can often look back and consider, when and where did it start going wrong? Can you think back to a time when you started doing something, or thinking something, or learning something, or not doing something, and you think that was a mistake in retrospect? Let's look at Galatians 6, 7 to 9. Paul writing to the Galatian church, warning them, warning, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man and a woman reaps what he or she sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that very nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You reap what you sow. What might be some of the unintended consequences in our own lives? What might they be? What could they be? Think back to when you were much, much younger. Do you remember sticking your tongue out or pulling faces? And do you remember what your mum or your dad or your uncle said? If you keep on doing that, you'll stay like it. If the wind changes while you've got your tongue out, it might never go back in. All very harmless, somewhat funny, because that kind of thing is often just part of growing up. Bit of good humour. But what about more serious things? What about things like, say, smoking? What about drinking? Alcohol, I mean, beer or whatever. What about motorcycling? Or in my case, what about hang gliding? What could some of the unintended consequences be in regard to those things? I, for one, have broken my clavicle, badly landing a hang glider. I've also broken my right fibula, and I've broken my left tibula, falling out of a tree, because I liked climbing trees as a kid. I stopped smoking a long, long time ago. Around the time that my brother started getting pneumonia and things like that, because he smoked. And he stopped. But who knows if that had any long-term effect on my body? Who knows what the long-term effect of, and I can tell you what part of it is, breaking that foot has completely changed the way I stand and walk. That foot there. Because one little change in your geometry affects the whole of your body, especially in your feet. Or even worse than those things, like smoking and drinking and dangerous sports. What if you have a history of bad or poor moral standards? What if you engaged in fornication or theft, or you were aggressive? What might the unintended consequences regarding those actions or habits be? Because they won't be funny. Is it at all possible that someone has had, and I'm speaking to the men here, is it possible that someone has had an abortion and you don't know about it, because of your actions and decisions. Is it possible that you have children in this world that you are unaware of, that don't know their father? Is that possible? Is there a wanted sign above your head for things that you may think that you've got away with? Because look at it, the facts that sexually transmitted diseases, they're not dying out with modern drugs. They're actually thriving quite well, actually. And the divorce rate, even in Christians, is something like 50%. And what is going on in society as a result of taking the wrong roads? It took a long, long time, didn't it, for the medical profession to categorically state that smoking causes cancer. How many years did that take? Lots and lots of years. Now they finally, hands up, but we're still going to sell it, but we're going to advertise the fact it's going to kill you if you do this. Now, there was a time in Jerry and my young years, there was a time when I remember adverts saying that smoking was actually good for you, that consulate cigarettes, menthol cigarettes, helped you breathe more easily. And yet, no one thought then that they were slowly but surely harming a very carefully designed human body. Very, very carefully, wonderfully and fearfully made is what the Bible says we are. You tweak something, it has an effect. If you eat something that doesn't agree with you, it has an effect. If you smoke something, if you, you know, whatever, if you drink something, it has an effect. It may be an unexpected long-term effect. I just want to share something with you that happened while we were on holiday in Tenerife recently, to do with unintended consequences. I watched something very interesting whilst on the beach in Tenerife. Amazing, isn't it? It's a bit, look at the snow outside. A week ago we were on a beach. Amazing. Now there was a young couple in front of where we were that had put down a blanket and they were having a picnic with their toddler son. It looked like it probably their first ever child. That's what my gut feeling was. They were both quite young and this little lad was rushing around and having a great time. Now there were occasionally pigeons flying around, mostly minding their own business. But the background operation of pigeons is they're always looking for something to eat, just like the seagulls at Skegness. That's what they're doing. They're not just having a good time. They're looking for food. Now, this toddler was fascinated by these birds, and mum gave him a bit of bread from a sandwich that they were eating to toss to them. And you think to yourself, well, that's nice, isn't it? That's nice. Give the little boy a little crumb to toss to the pigeons. That's all right. That you'll get to like birds that way. And, you'll have kind of harmony. Now, in the background all the time, Nola is telling me pigeons are vermin, just like rats, and you shouldn't encourage them. And I was thinking, yeah, that's a vet's point of view, but I actually think pigeons are really smart. I think they're really attractive and they're really well aerobatic and they're very aerodynamic. That's the word I was looking for. And I like pigeons. And this toddler also liked pigeons. So he tried to feed the pigeons with this little bit of bread and the pigeon would come up so far but not take it out of his hand. Because ultimately they're wild. Right, so at the end of the day, they're trying to stay alive as well as get something to eat. So anyway, this toddler soon was rushing around trying to get this bread into that pigeon, and in the end, he's just chucking the bread at the pigeon. Okay, so eat the bread like that. Now, as soon as the bread left his hand, all the other pigeons came down from nowhere. The pigeons everywhere. And they were jostling around to get this free hand out. Now, this soon got out of hand, and all of a sudden, Dad was involved, right? Now dad started shooing them away. Get off, get away. And so when little baby sees dad shooing them away, little baby drops the bread, picks up a plastic saucer and starts lobbing the saucer at the pigeons, right? Which was not very effective, but he was copying dad now. And then, because he got rid of the saucers, he looked around and he started picking up stones. So this toddler, 2 years old, I guess, was chucking rocks at these pigeons, which had started to take over the picnic. The law of unintended consequences. I watched this develop and I was thinking, is this what happened in Palestine? That you try to get on with your neighbours, you feed them, you give them medical profession, you employ them, and then all the time they're working to contrive another plan. The law of unintended consequences. On this occasion with the pigeons, it was mummy supplying food for baby to feed the pigeons. Well, that led to baby lobbing rocks at the pigeon because daddy didn't want them scavenging around his picnic and taking control. There's a saying that goes, doesn't it? We've all heard this. You give them an inch, they'll take a mile. God's law, or rather disobeying his word, can have very serious, unintentional consequences, at least as far as we're concerned, in our lives. It doesn't really surprise God, though, because God has already said, you will reap what you sow, and he already knows what that will be. Now, I want to share something with you now, which is quite a long story in 1 Samuel 15. It's all about the prophet Samuel and King Saul, right? And it is long, but try and put yourself in this picture, because something very significant happens here. So 1 Samuel 15, 1-29, the prophet Samuel said to King Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim. 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah were there. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. And then he said to the Kenites, go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. And then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. And then the word of the Lord came back to Samuel the prophet. And this is what God said to Samuel the prophet. I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet King Saul. But he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel, and there he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. Now when the prophet Samuel reached him, Saul said, The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? King Saul answered, The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites, and they spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Stop, the prophet Samuel said to Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out. So why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe, and it tore. Prophet Samuel said to him, The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. The law of unintended consequences ran straight through that. Saul intended it to go well. Saul saw success. Saul saw it okay to build a monument in his own honor. But in reality, what had happened was he had not obeyed God. He feared men and people. He was afraid of people more than he was afraid of God. And the consequences? He lost the kingdom. And yet, that was part of how King David came into being. And another consequence that God, I think, intended. King Saul nearly had it right, but ultimately he feared people more than he feared God. And he clearly thought too much of himself. The consequences are clear, but Saul thought that he got away with it. Now, in the first two scriptures from Genesis, we can see that both Adam and Eve believed that they could get away with it, didn't they? But of course, they didn't, because of this law of unintended consequences. They began to reap what they sowed almost straight away. Alienation from God. Being ashamed. Hiding away. And then there was the tension between the two of them. Animosity, mistrust, all these things. And because God cannot be mocked, there's no way around that. The unintended consequences of man meeting woman in the Garden of Eden were that they fell into sin between the two of them and were alienated from God. They probably never saw that coming. Never saw it coming as a consequence. But it came anyway, just in the same way that things come upon us. Whether it be, in our case, poverty, obesity, liver disease, cancer, caused by smoking or sunburn or bad living, or even perhaps because we have a genetic predisposition. But why was it not good? Ask yourself this. Why was it not good for man to be alone? Because logically speaking, surely looking at what happened following being united with his wife, wouldn't it have been better for Adam to have been alone? It was okay until then. But then how would man have become more like his creator? How could he have struggled with sin and in his relationship with man and woman? How would he have struggled or contended with God? How would he have sought forgiveness from God? How could he have wanted at any time to seek the forgiveness of his fellow man and woman? How would he have been able to look in the mirror and see who and how he really was in comparison to God's word? Without a challenge, without the freedom to make mistakes, do we ever grow? If we never had the opportunity to do the wrong thing, how would we know what the right thing was? Lots of unintended consequences have already come and may still be coming our way, some of which are the result of our own decisions or misgivings, things we have done that we ought not to have done, and of course, things that we left undone. But, because we have made peace with God through accepting that Jesus died in our place, his death and resurrection covering all our sins, we, unlike those still doing their own thing and seeking their own way and finding a way which they think is acceptable, we are no longer under the law. Whether it be the law of unintended consequences or the law of Moses, we, as believers, are now under the law of Jesus Christ to love God with all our heart and our neighbours as ourselves. And that means that any unintended consequences in our lives are temporary. They're not permanent. They are limited to this world. And ultimately, everything will be restored and made perfect in the next. That is God's intended purpose for all of us. and his intended purposes is made complete and possible as a direct consequence of the death and resurrection of his son. God's intended consequence following the sacrifice of his son is that we are saved and not lost. I'm going to finish with a scripture from John 3, 17 to 18. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It's not God's intention that anyone remains lost or separated, no matter what they have done to deserve it. God's intention is that everybody comes to Jesus, that everybody is saved. And Lord, we just thank you that although we made a mess of our lives in certain areas, and there are consequences that we're living through now, illness and sickness and struggles, Lord, we thank you that you have overcome the world, that none of these consequences, Lord, are permanent. And we, Lord, have a bright future with you in eternity. In Jesus' name we give you thanks. Amen.